Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, blather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Why, thank you, Scott. Hello, everyone in Podcastville or Internet land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adrian Pinky Wiley. How are you doing, sir?
I've had better weeks, brother.
You've had better weeks. Well, you've had worse weeks, too. But we've had better weeks, though. What happened?
Well, it's honestly, I don't know whether I should even talk about it. You know, it's... Well,
I mean, considering we're doing a podcast right now, I would think that would be the appropriate time to talk about.
All right. Well, I was the unfortunate victim of an extortion scheme this week by a criminal hacker group.
Criminal hacker group.
Yeah.
Do you know this criminal hacker group?
Yeah, I was able to track down who it was, but they got into all my accounts. They had my business account. They had my personal account. And basically I had to pay them thousands of dollars or they said they were going to just drain my accounts and there was nothing I could do. I went to the police. They said, there's, nothing they could do about it. So they were completely useless. So eventually I had to, I didn't have any recourse. They owned me. They had everything on me. So I had to pay them several thousand dollars.
So, but you know who this group is. I mean, and the police wouldn't do anything. Huh?
No.
Were they defending them?
It turns out that this has happened to millions of people, but I was able to track down the organization. They call themselves the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And
the IRS.
Yes. It's short for the IRS.
You've heard of the IRS.
Yeah.
You know, I have heard of these people.
Apparently.
They got me too.
You've got to be kidding.
No, they didn't.
Unbelievable. They're horrible. These people are evil. I don't
they're
know how
the
they
strongest
get
strongest mob racket
they
in the world.
They said they were going to kidnap me if I didn't give in to their demands.
And they were going to throw you in, a cage?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they said to me.
It's insane. Absolutely insane. So, yeah, folks, I just did finish my corporate taxes yesterday. And
I thought corporations didn't pay taxes.
Well, I have an S corporation, so it's a pass through to personal. So I did my corporate taxes and I've started on my personal. Of course, I'm doing it 6 months later because I always file for an extension because, I owe money and fuck you, you're not getting in until I'm ready. Or at least until the very last minute that I have to pay before you do, drain my accounts, which you have access to, and or throw me in a cage.
Yes. One of the two.
So I always, I do it at the last minute. But yeah, it's so painful. So painful.
I'll bet it is painful. It really has to suck.
I was waiting to see if Trump's tax cuts were going to do anything for me. Not a goddamn thing.
Nothing, huh?
No, nothing at all. Even with the QBI and everything like that, for my particular and it's not because I make too much money. I definitely don't. That's not the problem, believe me. But yeah, the way my income is structured, it didn't do anything for me at all.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, my friend. I am definitely sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's quite a shame.
Quite a shame.
It's a horrible thing.
Well, and it's kind of funny considering one of the stories that we're going to tell today is the federal spending setting, records through August.
Yeah.
So at least they're spending your money faster than you're actually giving it to them.
Yeah, and then they're borrowing a whole bunch too. Yeah. I can't recall specifically, but wasn't Trump going to balance the budget and pay off the debt? He said it was easy.
It was the same promise as that the Mexicans were going to pay for the wall. And draining the swamp.
Yeah.
Instead of refilling it with his own people.
Right. How can you fiscal conservatives be happy today when we are literally the federal deficit is at a record high? The national debt is at a record high. One more thing that we didn't have on our list that's also at a record high is consumer debt, which is not a good thing. Actually, the American people personally and individually are one $1 trillion more in debt today than they were at in 2008 when the credit crunch happened and the Great Recession occurred.
Yeah, we didn't learn a lot of lessons.
Didn't learn our lesson there. And apparently, not only, I don't know if we can blame the federal government too much because, you know, there we are.
We're in the same boat. Yeah. We're all like drunken sailors on payday. I apologize if I offended any drunken sailors with that analogy.
Right. Right. Yeah, at least drunken sailors don't spend what they don't have.
Yeah, exactly. at least they have to wait till the next payday.
Yeah, and they're not robbing anyone to get more money.
Exactly. Well, before we go any further, though, I do want to thank those new people this week that signed up on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. That's patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. That would be Big Dave Levitt.
Dave.
Rose Lipke.
Rose.
And both of those people are on the conspicuous duffel bag level. On the curbside switcheroo level, though, Peter Richter.
All great friends of ours.
All people we know.
Yep, great friends of the show. And so thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. It means a lot to us.
Yes, it does.
Helps keeps us going.
Well, and I'm glad that those people signed up so they get to hear the second hour, which is not going to be, not live for everybody, but only for people that have signed up. And in this week's story time, for Alex's story time, I'm going to move it to the second hour because this week I put up my two new favorite Latin words, noli prosequi. I think that's how you say it. Probably not, but that's all right. And why those are my two new favorite Latin words, because this week I have found out that after over a year-long process since May of last year, the courts have finally decided that they are not going to prosecute me for a felony.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yes. And I'm going to get into the story.
It's a great story. And so if you're listening now and you're not a subscriber, you're going to miss out on how Alex beat a felony rap.
Yes, how Alex beat a felony rap. And look, it was BS to begin with anyway, but like I said, we'll get into that in the second hour. In the first hour, though, we're going to talk a little about good news on Trump.
Good news, everyone.
Good news on Trump, bad news on Trump, bad news on Trump, bad news on Trump, bad news on California. So, like, that's pretty much hour number one.
Is this the Trump show?
No, it's not, but I'm just kind of saying, like, different stuff. And there's a lot of, again, because of Trump's ability to not control the narrative, but to monopolize the narrative, a lot of stuff
kind of sucks up being, all the oxygen.
Oh, he does, though.
Yeah.
That's how he beat all the pop. It's how he got become president, for Pete's sake.
He is very good about making things about him.
We'll have to save Andrew Yang's $10,000 contest and Joe Biden losing his teeth for the second hour.
I thought it was $120,000. Wasn't it $120,000?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But $10,000 per person, 12 people.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
Which I will say is the most unique. Like, I always know that they're trying to buy your vote, but there's a difference between trying to buy your vote and have a contest, see who's going to get the most amount of money buying your vote. But let's start off with the first thing is that this week, Donald Trump did something that a lot of us really wanted to see, and that was that he fired John Bolton as national security advisor.
Kudos to him. I feel as proud of Trump for firing Bolton as I felt revolted by him when he hired Bolton. I'm going to fill the swamp. I'm going to drain the swamp. I'm going to fill the swamp. I'm going to drain the swamp.
Yes. So, and here's the thing about this. So I guess this happened over because Trump was going to bring the Taliban in to do a peace talks at Camp David. And then it kind of leaked out that was what's going to happen. They think that John Bolton actually was the one that leaked it out. He's claiming that he didn't leak it out. And then Trump saying that, he strongly disagreed with Bolton on a lot of different stuff and that he asked for his resignation. Bolton was said he was just going to resign anyway. And so we don't know who's telling the truth and who's lying when it comes to this thing.
You're fired. I quit. You're fired.
Now, I will say this is that, and I didn't talk to you about this part yet, but I did want to bring this up, is that your favorite chairman, Nicholas Sarwak, actually did comment on this one as well. And he took Bolton's side on who the liar was. And he said that he never knew Bolton to be a liar.
I saw that. And, don't beat up on Nick. Nick's an okay guy. But he kind of backpedaled. He said he doesn't lie about trivial stuff.
He doesn't lie about trivial stuff.
Bolton only lies about big things, whereas Trump lies about trivial stuff. Well, see, Bolton only lies about things about like weapons of mass destruction, which he pretty much thinks everybody on the planet has, you know? I mean, I think if I disagreed with John Bolton, he might find weapons of mass destruction in my backyard.
Yeah. Now,
you know?
Now, here's the thing about Bolton is that when he hired him, and again, I don't know if you read this, but there was a book that was put out about Trump where he talked about his management style or his style of doing things. And basically what he does is he takes different people of differing opinions, brings them together, has them argue it out, and then he listens to those people and he makes his decision based upon that.
Which is terrifying to me. Terrifying to me that the man has no core values. That's why he can go either way on any issue at any time.
That's true. No. Okay, you know what? That's a good point. I actually did not view this as negatively as I just viewed it now. I actually viewed this as a good thing until you just said that. And
right.
Now that you're right. No, it is horrible.
So let's say he brings in two people, one pro-nuclear war, one anti-nuclear war, and the pro-nuclear war guy who says we need to do a preemptive strike against the rest of the planet is a better debater.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, it's just a really bad idea. I prefer someone who has a core set of values that are pretty much, you know, cut in stone. And one of them is adherence to the Constitution.
Well, and it was weird because of who, like, and again, it wasn't. Here's the thing. This is one of the problems that I have with other people when it comes to how they view Trump. I think if he does something that's good, I think you should acknowledge that he did something that was good. And firing the neocon scumbag that is John Bolton.
That's why I said I'm proud of him.
Yeah. However, it should be noted that he did hire the guy to begin with. So why did you hire the neocon scumbag
to begin with? There's no
But he made fun of him the whole time, though. But he did make fun of him. And it was really fun to see a neocon scum like John Bolton being made fun of the entire time that he was up there. You know, he'd go to war with the world if you'd let him. Well, why did you bring him there to begin with?
Right.
So you could have the
opinion. You hired the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that say about your judgment?
Yeah. No. I got you. And to see like people outside of the administration, like Mitt Romney was like all mad that Bolton got fired. Like, oh my God. Wait, you know what I mean? Like
Mitt,
what is your problem?
Mitt Romney is still relevant somehow?
He's a senator in Utah.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, Mitt Romney's a senator out of Utah.
You know, that name's familiar, but I can't quite place
it. He's the guy that likes to put dogs on the top of his car.
That's right. I forgot about that one. That's a good one.
He's the book full of women.
Right, right.
He's the Mormon with fancy underpants.
The magic underpants.
With magic underpants. That's who he is.
Oh, jeez. Mitt Romney. God.
He took his chance to go after Trump because, you know, he liked Bolton.
Is he going to run against him?
Not this time. No. There's already three people that are running against him, and none of them are Mitt Romney.
No.
None of them are.
Who's running against him? Do you know? Anyone of consequence?
Well, Bill Weld's running against him.
Anyone of consequence?
Mark Sanford.
Yeah.
And Joe, some other guy. I forget the other guy's name. He was like a guy that got elected in 2010 in the Tea Party, and then he's just as bad. Honestly, Joe Walsh. I don't even know why this guy's running against him, by the way.
Oh, my God. Joe Walsh is one.
Like,
he
not
gets
from
my
the Eagles. Not from the Eagles.
His Maserati does 185, dude.
Yeah, I know, but it's not that guy, though. Multiple people are named Joe Walsh. It's kind of a common name.
Damn, that's a shame.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, I would vote for Joe Walsh.
I would vote for that Joe Walsh, of course.
I would actually. That might bring me back to the voting booth.
That would bring you back, huh?
Yeah, Joe Walsh.
So, you know, Lindsey Graham's upset about this with the Bolton thing. You know, I'm sure Rubio's...
Oh, Lindsey. Yeah. Lindsey's upset? Well, we can't have Lindsey Graham being upset. God forbid.
And because of this, Liz Cheney and Rand Paul got into a Twitter feud because of it. Because, you know, Liz Cheney's all upset because, you know, God forbid there's a country we don't bomb and Liz Cheney's upset. You know, her and her dad is all pissed off.
Doesn't she have
about
a carpet
that.
To munch or something?
I guess not. I guess she had enough time this week to opine about, not to get off on the whole thing with Rand Paul and Liz Cheney, but Liz Cheney basically said that the Rand Paul's the terrorist's advocate in Washington, D.C. or something like that. Like, that's what she said that Rand is. And Rand was like, you know, you're just a warmonger that wants to bomb everybody, which, you know, totally true.
Right.
So those guys got into a little bit of a feud.
And well, depending on your definition of terrorist, Liz actually might be right. I mean, NRA is a terrorist organization, which I kind of agree with in a certain way, just not the way San Francisco thinks they are.
We talked about that last week. Why do you... Okay, we'll get to that later. We'll have to get to that part later.
Oh, what? Are you going to tell me I have to stick to the show notes? I'll say whatever I goddamn want.
You can say whatever you want. Hold on. Okay, well then, hold on.
I will bring up any topic I please. Don't fucking tell me what to
do. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just curious.
I think you're hinting that I should be told what to do.
I'm not telling you what to do.
I'm
not telling you what to do.
I will kick your ass.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just curious as to what your... Again, I understand the problem with the NRA because they definitely don't go far enough. But what were you going to go down the road with the NRA?
Did we actually talk that? No, I wasn't going down any road. I'm just throwing shit out there.
You know what? Okay,
we
brought
talk
it up.
About that last week.
We didn't really talk a lot about it.
I mean, I don't care, but you know.
Do you want to bring it up?
I mean, obviously, if we had talked about it, I probably wouldn't have remembered anyway. So,
well, that's a good point. So. Bolton's out. We'll see who they get next. Let's hopefully it's a...
Yeah. Is there a short list? Do we know who
I have not seen a short list on it yet.
I haven't either.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that Bolton's out. Like, I'm glad that Bolton got made fun of all the time and then got exited out. Like, in a weird way, like, I was happy with the hire because he just kept, like, ragging on him all the time and then got rid of him anyway.
Well, you know who I think that Trump should pick for national security advisor, and I understand he's got a lot of free time these days, is Julian Assange. I think that'd be a good choice.
You could. However, Assange is still in jail in England.
I think we could take care of that because they're holding him because the U.S. government wants to.
Well, yeah, because the U.S. government's going after him. So, you know, I mean, they're not throwing him in a cage because he didn't pay his taxes.
Right, right. Or rape anybody.
Or rape anybody. Isn't it weird, by the way, with Julian Assange that Pam Anderson and him got together?
What?
Did you not know this?
No.
Like,
she visited him in the embassy.
Well, yeah, but
were they hooking up?
Yeah, I think they were hooking up.
Damn.
What do you think Pam Anderson's going around for? You know, she's... Like, well, it's just weird, though.
I don't know. She's actually smarter than I ever gave her credit for.
Really?
Yeah, she's actually...
she's not a dummy.
She's not just a blonde bimbo, you know? But I had no idea they hooked up. Dude, his cool factor just went up. You know, I didn't think Julian Assange's cool factor could go up anymore with me, but it just did.
You know, one place I would like to visit, by the way, is... And I think it's either in Germany or it's in Switzerland. There's the three statues of people standing on chairs of, like... Julian Assange, Snowden, and
Manning.
Then there's an empty chair next
right.
to it
yeah.
where you can stand.
I like that. Great concept.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that.
I forget where it's at. It's either in Germany or it's in Switzerland. It's in one of the two.
Pretty sure it's not in China.
It's definitely not in China.
I'm guessing it's not in Russia.
No.
And
no,
I don't think it would last very long here in the U.S.
No, it wouldn't. Because if you talk to a lot of people, they would consider Julian Assange and... Bradley Manning and
somebody would tear those statues down.
Or the government would come and take
somehow
them.
It's racist.
It would be racist, homophobic, bigoted. It would be supporting the patriarchy. And
that's a good one.
Oh no, supporting the patriarchy is the best one now. Like that's a blanket one where you sound more woke than the other people when you say that it's just supporting the patriarchy.
Hey, I'm so woke, I had a transgender house guest night before last.
Did you really? Who was that?
I did. I had actually no idea. A friend of my son's, he met, nice guy, had no idea. And actually, you know, he had a little too much to drink, so I said, just stay the night, you know. And the next day, my son says, hey, by the way, did you know that, he was born female? No idea. You never know it.
Couldn't tell.
Not at all. Yeah.
Hmm.
So... I mean, that dude was a dude.
That dude was a dude. Huh?
That dude was born to be a dude. You know, sometimes you meet transgender people and you think, I don't know, man, are you compensating for something else that's wrong in your life? But then you meet transgender people that are, you know, they were meant to be who they identify as. You know?
Wow.
And that was one of those cases. So just another thing that wasn't on the show notes, just something that occurred to me.
Yes. Wow. You are getting woke, buddy.
Aren't I woke?
You're getting woke up.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You know, and wait a second. When did woke, we used to use woke. We owned woke for a long time. How did that get taken away from us?
Who's we?
The Liberty Movement. Remember that? Yeah, no, the Liberty Movement owned woke, and now it's become a social justice thing.
Yeah, they took that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, think about it. Liberal, that's another thing that was, I mean, I guess that was taken away a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. But yeah, that was taken away.
People wore powdered wigs before they got taken away. Yeah. I think Bull Moose Party did that or something.
Damn, Bull Moose going into it, huh? It's setting records. Which is what the federal government's doing right now when it comes to setting records, too.
Yeah.
Because the federal government has spent a record, and just so let's deal with this, $4,155,323,000,000 in the first 11 months of fiscal year 2019, which is October through August.
Right.
So this is a record amount of spending and a deficit of over $1 trillion.
Which is a record deficit as well.
Which is a record deficit.
Before the fiscal year is even complete.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they only got a month
left.
Well,
no, I think it's on target. Well, no, a month and a half, because it's mid-September, yeah. And the federal fiscal year ends October 31st.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've got some time. Yeah, just spending is completely out of control. And for all you Trump supporters, this is way more than Obama spent.
Yeah, it is way more than Obama
and
spent.
In fact, at the end, the last couple of years of Obama's presidency, he actually cut the budget. So it was working its way down. And then since Trump's been in office, it spiked again.
Well, okay, so here's what happened. So let's go with, we'll go up and down for the, because they have a chart here. The way that it worked is that in 2008 to 2009, the 2009 budget went up a whole bunch.
Right.
Then for the next 3 years after that, spending was flat. Then for 2 years after that, spending went down. So after 2015, spending started going back up. And then from 2015 until now, spending has been increasing every year ever since.
Right, right. And we're way over the peaks of the Obama administration at this point.
Yeah. So the biggest year, if you want to count the biggest year for Obama, which was 2009, even though like he doesn't really get into office until like halfway through 2009, though.
Yeah, you have to understand that what we spent in 2009 was the 2008 budget, which George W. Bush put into place.
Yeah. So 2010, 11, and 12, which is really some of Obama's numbers,
right,
were below the 2009 one.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. They were way above the 2008 one, though. Like, we're never getting close to the, we're not anywhere near close to the 2008 level of spending.
So Trump's first budget was actually the 2018 budget, was last year's budget.
Yeah, which was higher than 2017.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It would have been the, no, he, when did he take office?
It'd be the 2017 budget, because he took office in 16.
No, he took office in 17.
He took office in 17.
So his would have been the, it would have been the fiscal year 18 budget.
Yeah. Which
ended last October.
Both of those budgets are higher than any budget that Obama did.
Right.
By far, like it ain't close.
Yeah.
And if you contribute it to like, okay, so if you go back to, because this thing does spending up to, and I have to get close to the screen because I can't see it. 1984 is where this thing is at. So 84 is when it first starts, where in 84 it was under $2 trillion.
Right. The entire federal budget.
The entire federal budget was under $2 trillion. And actually during that, you know, from 84, it didn't get to $2.5 trillion until 2001.
Right.
So from 84 until 2001, we were only spending, we got to $2.5 trillion. And then from 2001 until 2019, or 2018 really, is when we got to basically $4 trillion.
Well, it costs a lot of money to take away American rights and wage war all over the world.
It does cost a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
And this is, the thing is this is why, like, there's a one guy running, Mark Sanford, that's running for the Republican nomination, and he's getting, you know, murdered left and right.
Yeah, he's got no prayer.
And he does have no prayer. However, he's running on one issue and one issue alone.
Spending.
Yeah. That's the only issue he's running on. He's not running on anything else. And he is 100% right. Like, not only is he 100% right, that the fact is that in 2000 and... Okay, when did we first get involved in politics? I mean, me and you together.
Together?
2009, right?
Yeah.
So 2009, you had this massive movement around the country of people that were going out talking about the spending, that right. we're spending too much money, that we're doing all this and that. And the response from the Obama administration between 2009 and 2014 was to reduce spending.
Right. Right.
That's really what it was.
Yeah, that's true. And that is the reason that it happened, was because of the original Tea Party movement that was only about taxes and spending.
Now, the Republicans controlled Congress in 2010, but they didn't have the presidency.
Right.
Obama had the presidency, and spending went down.
Right.
And then it started going back up with Obama in office, though. But the Republicans had to do something with that. Like, they had to be part of it.
Oh, they were. Yeah.
So they were increasing spending because they thought, well, you know, these people aren't paying attention. Let's just keep increasing spending. And that's what they did. And now we're at Trump, who is the king of debt. He is self-described king of debt.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's personally, he loves debt.
Yeah, he loves debt. Doesn't, yeah. Well, 'cause he doesn't want to pay it back a lot of times.
Yeah.
But we are out of control in federal spending. And if anybody brings this stuff up, and this is the other thing I find to be funny, and we'll get into this, we'll get into another incident of this. When you call Republicans out on this, from some Republicans, the response is that you want the Democrats to win.
Yeah. You know, when did that become the overriding thing in America? You know, it was, when did Democrats versus Republicans become more important than the issues themselves? It seems to me that any honest Republican who is, you know, truly about cutting taxes, cutting spending, you know, that sort of thing. If there was a Democrat out there that was running against Trump that said, I'm going to cut spending. Here's my plan to do it. Year one, my budget is going to be this. I'm going to present it, you know, and actually laid it out, not just set it on a, you know, a debate. Oh, yeah, we'll cut spending. You know, actually laid out a plan to do it. An honest Republican would vote for that Democrat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But well, yeah, the people that don't subscribe to the tribal warfare.
Well, I think that most of them do. I don't know. I only know a handful of Republicans that actually, I think more people on the left these days are more issue driven than party driven. I think the right has gone so far party driven over issue driven. It's, you know, it's the right is much more cult of personality right now than the left is. There's no doubt about it.
Well, yeah. Well, yes, but that actually has more to do with the fact that they have the lead. If their lead guy is in office, then the cult of personality is all geared towards that lead guy.
I don't know about that. I think that the left would turn on a president quicker than the right would. I mean, we're seeing it.
Well, I mean, obviously they're not going to turn on Trump. I mean, that's spot on correct.
It's, right. It's no matter what he does.
No matter what. No, no matter what, which is the scariest thing. I mean, we're going to get to that with the vaping thing. But even with the budget thing and the deficit thing, if you bring up like that the Republicans are doing something bad, then the response is it is a knee-jerk response of, well, you just want the Democrats to win. Like it doesn't even make any sense.
No. How about I don't want gun confiscation?
Yeah.
You know, which is what your boy is doing. I mean, seriously, if the Republicans won't turn on Trump over gun confiscation, which he is promoting, and some of them are even in denial. He never said that. You know, I'll say, well,
you're playing 4D chess, Adrian. You don't know what you're talking
literally,
about.
Literally, here's the video where he's calling for red flag laws. Here's the video where he says he wants to take guns without due process. Here's his words specifically.
Yeah.
You know, these aren't deep fakes. This is C-SPAN.
Yeah. You know. They're not deep fakes, they're right. C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Well, and let's get into this one. So the FDA and Donald Trump are calling for a ban on all flavored vapes after this mystery lung illness. Now, there's been a couple hundred people that have died off of some mystery lung illness. And what they're really attributing it to is overseas, like cartridge THC weed cartridges that you can buy overseas that have like vitamin E in it, which I don't even understand why this is bad, but obviously it is. But because of this is that people are inhaling it and it's causing some deaths. Now, comparatively speaking, 450 people across the country have grown sick with this disease, and a couple of them have died. Not a ton of them, but some of them have died. Now, don't get me wrong. You want to be upset with any time somebody dies. However, what this isn't, though, is an urgent health crisis. And what does the Trump administration do? They come out with a urgent health crisis for this and now want to ban legally produced, non-black market e-cigarettes.
Right.
Which is one thing. Now, again, inhaling anything in your body is not good. I used to be a smoker. Adrian used to be a smoker. We did not use these things to go cold turkey. So I don't have any skin in the game when it comes to the e-cigarettes. But for these guys to say about these e-cigarettes and why the response for it is just not even true. Like, the thing is this. There's a lot of people that have stopped smoking regular cigarettes and started smoking the e-cigarettes. None of these people that are getting sick off of like Juul, but yet they're trying to almost like they didn't like kind of explain that this was from something else. And so now Trump says, well, we got to do something about it. We got a problem with vaping by teenagers. Because again, if you ever want to ban something, wrap it around the military, wrap it around kids, or wrap it around senior citizens.
Animals too.
Or animals too. Wrap it around one of them in order to do that. Because then if you say that you're against it, then you are in favor of kids dying. Which is what I heard this week when I posted this article out there. The response was, you guys are insane. Kids are dying. Like, people are dying from a black market product that wasn't made correctly because it was a black market product and not made by the regular people that are making this product, but they're going to use the black market stuff in order to promote a ban on all of it. Boy, that really sounds familiar.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. Kind of like, let's see, we have all kinds of laws preventing crazy people and criminals from purchasing guns. Yet when they do and use them in a bad way, what we should do is restrict all the people who are doing it the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, hold on. Here's something else, by the way. So we used to have this thing in this country called Prohibition. During Prohibition, it was illegal to purchase alcohol. So the entire alcohol industry became a black market and people were making it themselves, which wasn't necessarily the safe way to do it. But at the same time, the federal government was caught. Again, this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is what happened. The federal government was caught putting poison in liquor that was being sold. So when people got killed with it, the government could use that as a reason why people wouldn't use more liquor. Now, is there any proof that the government did this in order to stop people from, or in order to try to ban a product? I mean, I don't have any proof of that yet. However, is it really that far out of the realm of possibility that that's what's going on, considering they've been caught doing it in the past?
Yeah, I think it's a legitimate question to ask. I don't know if they're involved in this or not, but you know, I think this is more just stupid distraction stuff from Trump. You know, in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, it's a restriction on our freedom. It's a restriction of our rights to choose our own path. But in the grand scheme of things, what does it really matter whether you can buy flavored, you know, cigarette cartridges or not?
But the children, Adrian, the whole thing is marketed on our kids are dying. Our kids are using it more. That's why we have to do this. That really is what they're arguing. Now, here's the thing. Are you telling me that adults don't like flavor? Like, that's the other thing. Like, are you really telling me that adults don't like flavor? Because that's what it sounds like to me. It's like, well, the adults only like the tobacco flavor. They don't like the other flavors. You know, and this legislation to ban this stuff or to ban flavored tobacco was actually put in session last year in Florida. It didn't go anywhere, thank God. But it was attempted last session to get through. So, like, too many things. And again, I'm not trying to go down some wild conspiracy theory here, but it's almost like if it doesn't work one way, we're going to try it another way.
Right.
And it's almost like maybe they had nothing to do with the deaths of these people with the e-cigarettes. Maybe they had nothing to do with it. But I think that they're being very disingenuous at this point when it comes to when it comes to all of a sudden now promoting a ban and having the president talk about it, considering I think that you were trying to get rid of these flavored tobaccos to begin with, and you're just trying to find a new way to do it.
Well, here's the other side of the equation. Somebody's obviously pushing for this. Now, there's probably some group that misguidedly thinks that they're saving children by doing this, but also there's probably someone that stands to benefit financially from this. And there's two entities that would stand to benefit financially if people bought less vaping products and bought more tobacco products, and that would be the tobacco industry and the federal government.
Yeah,
because the heavy and the states, actually, because of the heavy taxation on it, both state and federally. Correct me if I'm wrong. Flavored tobacco is still very much available. You can still go to any convenience store and buy those the cigarillos that are mm-hmm. cherry flavored and grape flavored and bubblegum flavored and all mm-hmm. that.
Oh yeah.
So those are still legal, and no one's pushing to ban those. So that
they tried to ban those last year in Florida.
They did try to ban them last year.
They did try to ban them last year.
But there's no federal ban on them.
Not yet, no.
Okay. So,
I mean, Obama was working on that, but
presumably, if you have kids that are now buying flavored vapes and flavored vapes are no longer available, well, first of all, if you outlaw it, you're going to make kids want it more, and you're going to just create a black market instead of a legal market. That's what always happens. It's what has happened with literally every product. Ingestible, inhalable, product that the government has ever banned.
Yes.
All you do is create a black market. And black markets in general are not as safe, as free markets.
Yeah, so, because you don't have you don't get to utilize the force of government for consumer protection.
Well, no, not only that, it's that you attract a criminal element that's willing to take a risk, whereas you have legitimate businesses, they're not as willing to take a risk because they have, more to lose. But criminals know that, hey, if they get busted, they're going to jail anyway. So their risk tolerance is much higher. So free markets are always, always, always safer than black markets anyway.
Yeah.
Inherently, even if there's no government, that's inherently true. Yeah.
Now, let me give you, now by the rationale that Trump used about, we got to protect the kids and people are dying and all this other stuff. So, let's talk about nine other things that they should ban. Because there's more than nine, but here's nine other things that they should ban, considering that, if we're going to use this rationale of the Trump administration, let's even forget the fact that it's unconstitutional that the federal government would even ban something like this anyway, and that, Donald Trump has zero respect for the limits placed on his office by the Constitution. Let's just forget all that just for a second. There's nine other things we got to start banning. Beds. Because falling out of bed, 450 people a year die from that. Balloons. I'm not even talking about the hot air kind. I'm talking about your kid's birthday party kind. That's 2 to 5 people just in the U.S. that die a year.
Those things are deadly.
Deadly. Ladders. 113 deaths a year.
Wait, only 113?
Only 113.
I'm actually surprised by that.
Televisions. 29 people a year are killed by falling TVs. Lawnmowers. Got to get rid of them lawnmowers. 75 citizens a year. Vending machines. 37 deaths last year. Swing sets, 20 a year. Staircases, 1,600 people. I mean, those deadly-ass staircases are deadly. And bathtubs, 300 people in a year die of bathtubs.
Well, I found that more people in America have died from drowning in molasses than vaping in America. It's actually a true statistic.
Somebody was like, Adrian, you're going to have to pull out a link on this one. And Adrian said, I got your link right here.
Glad you asked.
Glad you asked. You know why? Because sometimes you say things that people are just like, hold on a second here, man. What are you talking about? And then you really, on cue, pull out that freaking thing.
Oh, I wait for it.
Yes.
You
don't even put it out initially.
I don't put it out initially because I wait for someone to call me on it, and it's just like, bam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Trump, at the press conference that he talked about Bolton as well, also talked about banning all the flavored vapes, and he's using the FDA in order to do it. The Food and Drug Administration, by the way, is responsible for more deaths than it ever saved, by the way. And there is definitely, you remember Dr. James Lark? He was with the Libertarian, he was a professor, but
yeah, probably, yeah, I do. Him, right? I do, yeah. Uh-huh.
He actually did, and this was a long time ago, it was like 2010. He actually did a lecture on how the FDA killed more people than it ever saved.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I wasn't all the way down the road at that point. When he first said it, I was like, this guy is just completely insane, and this is going to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And by the end of it, totally convinced.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, he's right. Like, isn't this something?
It's not that difficult to show. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Because when you think about it. But this is the thing. So we're going to use the FDA in order to ban this stuff. So here's what's going to happen with the e-cigarettes, though. They're all going to go black market. More people are going to die.
Right. And more kids are going to think it's cool.
Yeah. And more kids are going to think it's cool.
Yeah.
And more people are going to be put in jail for this, too. You're going to do more. Here's the thing. I think by the end of this whole thing, you're going to do more time for vaping non-weed tobacco than you will be for possession of flowered fucking weed.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually think that's the way it's going to end up working. You're going to end up doing more time for the vaping.
Well, from the government's perspective, you can see where this is a great thing because it ticks off, you know, so many of the categories that the federal government loves. More incarceration, more fines, and more things to regulate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like a trifecta for them.
Well, and these companies that got into the e-cigarette business, they're going to go out of business too, because now CNN and other organizations are now going to ban their promotion on their, you know, like they're not going to buy ads. They're not going to get ads on CNN and things like that.
I wonder how many steps that Philip Morris and RJR are filtering their funding for politicians for in this one. Because you know they got to be real happy about this.
It's deep, man.
Yeah.
It's real, real deep, man.
But obviously they can't be lobbying directly for this. They've got to have a couple of go-betweens before the money gets in the pockets of the politicians.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, it's... Look, vaping is just one of the things that they're looking to ban. That's just one of them. I mean, there is an all-out assault on multiple levels of your freedoms, and this is only one part of it.
Yep.
Another part of it really is, and they're not even trying to hide this anymore, which we'll get into we're going to come and take your guns in the second hour, but they are really ramping up on gun confiscation, and they are ramping up on taking that right away from you.
They're definitely ramping up on the rhetoric, but like we've talked about before, there's no way in hell that there's ever going to be a door-to-door confiscation in this country. It's physically impossible.
No.
And if it did happen, the bloodshed would be far more than America would be willing to tolerate.
No. You're right about that. However, what they are doing is this, they are ramping up with the extreme risk protection orders. They're going to do something actually called the House Judiciary Committee approved the Extreme Risk Protection Order Act, and this legislation would provide grants to encourage the passage and enforcement of red flag laws across the country. So
right.
The federal government is going to give money to the states
right.
in order to do this, in order to ramp this stuff up. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, it's only going to be for these things to begin with. It's not going to be for everybody. They're nibbling away at it, but they want to get these laws on the books, which they already got in Florida. They want to get by Republicans. They want to get these laws on the books and then start increasing and increasing and increasing from there.
That's what they'll do, is they will begin to expand the criteria that can get you red flagged. Like a prime example, in Tennessee, a man was in a custody battle with the mother of his child over a 2-year-old special needs child, had a bunch of health issues. And he went to the judge and he asked for full custody of this child because the mother had a history of neglect and some, you know, criminal background. And he said, she's an unfit mother. Well, the judge said, no, that's in the past. We're going to go ahead and award custody to the mother. Well, shortly thereafter, the child died in the mother's custody. So this father went online and started a campaign to get the judge fired. Well, he didn't make any threats. First, the judge says, well, he's threatening me. So the police investigated, said no threats. They come in and you know, the judge says, well, we're going to put him in jail anyway. So they ended up eventually charging him with malicious use of telecommunications, put him in jail. When he got out, he started talking about the judge again. They came and arrested him again, put him in jail this time for a misdemeanor, still a misdemeanor, $500,000 bond.
Wow.
Yeah. $500,000 bond. He's in jail because he was said that a judge was corrupt.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen is the red, and we already have the red flag laws here in Florida. The red flag laws are going to be start to be used on that. So you can be red flagged for criticizing the government. That will be the next step.
This is why you can't have those laws on the books to begin with. So let me tell you about what Nat Nadler's version. So Congressman Nadler, this is his version. So let me just read this off. Petitioners who, depending on the state, may include a long list of relatives and acquaintances, as well as police officers and prosecutors, could obtain an ex parte gun confiscation order if a judge decides that there is reasonable cause to believe that the respondent poses a danger of causing harm to himself or others. That determination would be made without any input from the respondent, who at this stage is not even notified and has no opportunity to rebut the claims made against him. Contrary to the bill's name, the danger the respondent allegedly poses would not need to be an extreme, substantial, or even significant. So furthermore, no time frame is specified, so the risk would not have to be imminent, which you might think would be a requirement for the ex parte order. So this is... like, they are really making this as loose as possible to include as many people as possible.
Oh, yeah. Everything about that is unconstitutional.
Everything.
An ex parte order, which is means one party is not present. Okay? Ex parte, without party. Mm-hmm. So one party can't be there. No due process. It's just someone's accusation. They don't have to provide proof. And the threshold for risk is so incredibly low that basically, look, your dog shits in your neighbor's yard, your neighbor can call you out and say, hey, he's a threat and he's got a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And your guns are taken away indefinitely. That's how it works. Yeah. That's literally how the law works. I mean, hundreds of these have already been done in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of these have already been done in Florida.
Yes, they have.
Now, granted, in some cases, they were probably warranted. You know, in some cases, those individuals might have been a threat to themselves and others, but we already had laws on the books for that. You know, if someone is an imminent threat, there's already many ways to deal with that situation. There's Baker acting, for one thing. You know, so there's a variety of reasons that that can happen. There's, you can go through the normal channels of having, you know, someone's deemed to be mentally unfit. And, you know, again, there's a lot of ways to do it that don't require this, that at least have some, you know, semblance of due process. But yeah, this just throws it all out the window.
Well, and also, so now leaders of 145 companies also wrote a letter to the Senate urging the legislature to take action on passing universal background checks and strong red flag laws. And it is like it spans the gamut. CEOs of Uber, Levi Strauss, The Gap, Walmart, like it is so many different companies. It's not even funny. Dick's Sporting Goods, of course, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a whole lot of people that are trying to get these two things done. They want to make sure that they get the universal background check, so you can no longer sell a weapon in a private sale without getting a universal background check.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck, exactly. And the second thing is the red flag laws. They're going to get both of them done, because what will happen is by getting both of them done, though, they can go into any house they want to go into. All they have to do is get not even, like, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, all this stuff out of the window at this point.
Oh, yeah.
You know, privacy, gone. I mean, it's already gone anyway, but privacy is absolutely gone. They're going to be able to come into houses and look around for whatever they want to get. If someone says that you might have a gun, then they're going to come after you.
And you Trump fans, your boy is on board with this.
Yeah.
He said repeatedly that he wants this. He actually came out and had a press conference and said, we need red flag laws across the country. So literally, when you bitch about the Democrats in Congress doing this, they're doing it on his orders.
Yeah. Like if this you got to remember, if this passes, it had to have been bipartisan because the House is Democrat, the Senate is Republican, and the president is Republican.
And it takes a signature by the president to get it done.
Yeah. And if he vetoes it, then there's no chance of it passing.
Correct.
This will go or not go based off of Trump.
Exactly.
And we'll see what happens. But I just got to tell you.
It's a go. It's going to happen.
Here's the thing. They already did it in Florida.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they're already doing it in Florida.
And using it widely in Florida.
And this is the thing, is that the pressure to do this now is so overwhelming. It's not even funny.
Well, and the side effects of this is going to be free speech. this will be a, it's already a huge blow to the Second Amendment, but this is, and for you liberals out there listening, this is going to be a huge blow for free speech, because what's going to happen is that anyone who could potentially be red flagged is going to be afraid to speak. Now, you may disagree with what those people are saying, but what's next? Maybe you're thinking, oh, that's a good thing. Well, yeah, they shouldn't be allowed to spew their venomous, hateful views. Well, guess what, folks? You're next. You're next. They're going to find something that they can control you with, that they control your behavior and your speech and your thoughts with. That's the process. That's how it works. And it starts off with a million good intentions. And it starts out with for the children. And we're going to make you safe. And everything's going to be wonderful if we do that. And it ends up with you in a virtual cage where you're afraid to speak. You're afraid to think. You're afraid to act because you don't know what the consequences from government is going to be. And that is the direction that these sort of things will inevitably lead us.
Yeah. So 18 states have enacted red flag laws so far. So five states that had it prior to 2018, California, Connecticut, Indiana, Oregon, and Washington. Those ones you kind of would figure that's the ones that are going to have it, right? Now, here's the next set, though. So eight of them enacted them after 2018. Delaware, District of Columbia, Florida, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Now, the one on the list that was a little weird, not weird, I guess, but Florida on the list. And you know what? And I've just figured, I don't want to say I've just figured out, but I figured out what the thing is. This is how they're getting away with it. They highlight the fact that the Democrats want to get rid of doing assault weapons ban. And this is the compromise position. However, the compromise position, this compromise position is just as bad as an assault weapons ban.
Actually, it's worse in a lot of ways.
In some ways. No, in some ways you're right. Now, in 2019, five were enacted: Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, New Jersey, and New York. Again, you know, you're dealing with some states that are, you know, mostly blue, except for Nevada. Now, in 2019, under consideration, Ohio, North Carolina, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, safest state in the country, by the way, Maine. Open carry law there.
Right.
The real solution to the problem is that we have gun-free zones and that we have to eliminate those gun-free zones and allow people to carry concealed. Again, concealed, open, I don't think you have to go as far as to allow for open carry, as long as you allow concealed carry everywhere. Because I do think open carry is just, you're an asshole.
Well, the actual solution is abolish government.
Well, yes.
Problem solved. All problems solved.
Yes. It's amazing.
Or at least get to that. The problems that it would create are minuscule compared to the problems that it would solve.
Yeah.
There would be a different set of problems, but they'd be a lot easier to deal with.
This is bipartisan, though. This is coming from Democrats and Republicans. It's not, you know, and here's the other thing is that whole stupid reciprocity bill that they wanted to do for concealed carry, the reciprocity concealed carry bill.
Reciprocity.
I'm sorry. Not reciprocity. You're right. Reciprocity. That is going to come back on. Come back to bite you now. Because the fact that you're making gun laws that are going all 50 states instead of understanding that each state is kind of, the federal government has no role in making rules and that each state deals with it as they need to deal with it, that's the real solution. So trying to do something that you think would be a positive on all 50 states as far as gun goes is going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Yeah, absolutely. The federal government has no business in any of this.
Yeah, they have no business in any of this stuff. But that's what we have coming with you. Well, and let me give you, and again, we'll get into more of this in the second hour, because the debate, the Democrat debate that was last, the earlier this week, Beto O'Rourke, who said on stage, hell yes, we're coming for your AR-15s and AK-47s.
Yeah, we got to address that one.
But here's the thing. So a Texas representative, now, again, let me ask you a question. Do you take what he said as a threat?
Yeah, well, I despise guns. I don't own any guns, but I could see where a gun owner, someone who owned an AR-15, would absolutely see that as a threat. If I were to say, I'm coming to take your car, I'm coming to take your jewelry.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That seems like a threat to steal my personal property.
So on the debate stage, Beto O'Rourke, scumbag, evil bastard that he is, threatened 100 million gun owners in this country.
Right. Right.
Well, one of those gun owners was a state house rep in Texas that said, and called him by whatever his real name is, and said, you know, come and get it, basically.
Right.
And then Beto is the one saying, this is why we need the law, because he's threatening me.
Well, that's what's known in law, in terms of law, as A, it's not necessarily a threat at all. First of all, it's not necessarily a threat at all, because maybe he's saying, yeah, hey, I oiled it, I packaged it up, it's sitting here waiting for you, just come on and take it. It could have been interpreted that way. But could even if he meant it like as a threatening overture, it's what's known as a conditional threat. Now, in the state of Florida and in most states, a conditional threat is not illegal. If someone says to you, if you come on my property, I'm going to shoot you, or if you come to steal my gun, I'm going to shoot you, that is not considered a threat, because it's a conditional threat based on the other party having to take action first. And in this case, the action that Beto O'Rourke is threatening to take is actually a felony. So, you know, there's no situation where that would be classified as a true threat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, and so Eric Swalwell is the other guy. So Eric Swalwell and Beto O'Rourke, who are the two the most prominent gun grabbers that are out there now. Like, these are the
other
two
than
guys,
Trump, of course.
Other than Trump, the two prominent ones are out there. Basically, that's a threat. This is why we need the law, because of people like this. Like, not understanding that their Nazi tactic of going to take all the guns is really the thing that's going to get a lot of people killed. Which is why. You know what the funny thing is that I remember when I was up in Tallahassee last session during this entire debate, and when you couldn't even walk down the hallway in the Capitol because there were so many people that were bussed up, you know, kids and students and parents, that all the gun grabbers that wanted to come and get everybody's guns, that they were piling in the hallways and really trying to grab this. And I had a moment where I was standing to try to get, I was trying to get into the actual hall itself to talk, you know, to be in there to testify on this bill. And the Capitol Police were there, and they were having to hold people in and to kind of guide traffic in the hallways. And we had a moment with those. I had a moment with those guys to where I looked at them. They looked at me. They knew where I stood on the issue. I knew where they were standing on the issue. And they had this look of like, these people don't even know what they're looking for. They're going to expect us to go and get these guns, and we're going to get killed in the process. Like, you could see their face of like, they don't even know what they're asking for. Like, they don't understand what's going to happen as a result of this. And anybody that points this out, anybody that actually, no matter who it is, anybody that points this out is accused of being the one that is causing it to happen. And it's not like Beto or Eric Swalwell. Like, it's not these guys that are the problem. It's people that are saying you guys are a problem, that they're threatening, they're saying that they're the problem.
Well, that's the thing. The left is living in a fantasy world that they've created. And when anyone points out the reality of the situation, that's when they get upset, because it disrupts their fantasy, because they literally think that by passing a law, it changes everything and fixes everything, and just guns are going to go away and kumbaya. You know, they don't realize. So they think in their twisted minds that if you say, well, you know, if you start sending out cops to go door to door to confiscate guns, people are going to get shot. You know, cops are going to get shot. People are going to get shot. There's a lot of people are going to die. In their minds, you're the one creating that scenario.
Yeah,
just like by pointing it out.
It doesn't already exist.
It's the reality. Yeah, right.
It already exists.
Yeah, that's the reality.
That was
of the
what
situation.
Would happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's what would happen if you do this. If you do A, B will happen.
Yeah.
So pointing out that if you do this, then B will happen is, it's just stupid. Like, it's so dishonest. And that's where I think that the worst part of it is. It's so dishonest. Right. And at least, I will say this, at least at this point, the gun grabbers are now coming out and saying that they're coming to grab the guns.
Right.
And so I think
a few years ago, Democrats would deny, and no, we're just doing common sense. Dude, really?
Sorry.
We're just doing common sense, you know, gun control, and we're not out to take the guns, and no, it's all the, and now it's just all the pretenses have been dropped. And that's going to happen more and more. I mean, it's, over the next couple of decades, you're just going to see all these type of just blatant violations of a variety of our constitutional rights just disappear. And that even the pretense of upholding them is just going to be gone. People are going to start saying, no, we don't care about the Second Amendment. No, we don't care about the First Amendment. No, we don't care about the Fourth or the Fifth Amendment.
But the kids, Adrian, right. But the kids.
But that's my point. And right now you've got an entire political party, which basically 40% of the country subscribes to, saying that we don't care about the Second Amendment. You know? And yeah. Soon it'll be the first. So while you liberals are happy today, you're not going to be happy a few years down the road when somebody else is saying about the First Amendment or the Fourth Amendment or the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah. I mean, well, here's the thing, though. The totalitarian state, I think, is what we're moving to and what they want to live in. I think that they're here's the thing. It's no longer leave me alone, I'll leave you alone, and everything's okay. It's that I want to grab the power of the government to force everybody to think the same way that I am. And if they don't think that way, then they are evil and they deserve to be killed.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just believe and have a difference of opinion anymore.
It's very much, and again, this is not a left-right political thing. This is just a mindset that's going on in America right now. We are at a point in time that it feels like it's right before Stalin in the Soviet Union, or it's right before Mao in China. I honestly, it has that feeling of, you know, the party doesn't matter. The red versus blue doesn't matter. It's the fact that both parties are on this bizarre path towards totalitarianism. And it really has that feel.
Like your average person, you know, they'll speak about, you know, I really don't care. People can do what they want. Like your average person, that's where they're at. But that's not where the politically active are at. The politically active are, I'm going to force my way upon you, and that's just the way it is. And if I'm being a hypocrite, there's justified. It's justified, and it's justified because the other person's bad too.
And the funny thing is even though their rhetoric gets more and more divided, and they seem more and more separated, and the two parties are at each other's throats, their actions are converging.
Yes.
Their actions are falling into the same exact pattern. So each of them are really doing the same things. They're only talking like they're doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a bizarre, you know, to stand back and watch it from a 10,000 foot view. It's a bizarre thing to watch that people are just allowing it to happen. And, I often wondered how. And this is going to sound extreme because, again, we're not this far at all. So I don't want to belittle anything I'm about to say. But I always in the past wondered how the Holocaust happened. How did Stalin kill 60 million people? How did Mao kill, or, you know, however, 30 million people? How did Mao kill 60 million people? How mm-hmm. how did the people let that happen? And now I'm kind of starting to see the way it does happen, because I feel like we're at a very, very early stage of that process, and maybe not even that early anymore. Who knows how quickly it accelerates?
Well, yeah, and the one thing is it's definitely that cult of personality, and I don't want to get too much into this right now, but only because the one other thing we've come across now is that our hour, first hour is up, and we have to have, you know, content for the second hour.
Put a thumbnail in that. Put a thumbtack in that. I want you to tease again what we're going to talk about in the second hour, because if you're not already a subscriber, this is a good reason to subscribe.
Oh yeah, no. So in the second hour, what we're going to talk about is, the first thing is going to be Uber. I do want to bring up the Uber thing,
okay?
Which is going to be California basically trying to kill the gig economy. Something that's being completely ignored about climate change, and something you could do about it right now, while to prove that the climate change agenda is only about control and not actually about anything else. And then I wanted to get into the dim debate as well. The Democrats had a debate.
Okay, yeah, that's all well and good.
That's all well and good.
I want to hear how you beat your felony rap.
And we're going to get into the story about how I was arrested and how I was, I'll get into the story about me being arrested and also how it all came to a good ending to where I wasn't arrested. or not that I wasn't arrested, but that I wasn't charged, that they're not going to try to get me on a felony.
That he's not in jail for 20 to life.
Yeah, I'm not in jail for 20. Well, they never would have been 20 years, but it could have been some time, though.
All right. Well, if you want to hear that story and much more, go to patreon.com, patreon.com/unattended baggage. Sign up, be a supporter, be a member. As little as $5 a month gets you all this great content. So go sign up now, and we'll see you on the other side.